Again, to be back in the Lord's house this morning. I'm going to ask you once again to open your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10. This past Tuesday evening and this past Friday morning, we were given the privilege of preaching during the Jubilee. And both of those times we dealt concerning the matter at the feet of Jesus. And once again, we want to direct your attention to a place and a position that Christians ought to be well acquainted with. That being at the feet of Jesus. To deal with this matter, we selected a Bible character that's spoken of in the pages of the New Testament. Each time this individual is set before us, they are seen at the feet of Jesus. This is a woman by the name of Mary. Mary, who was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. On three different occasions, she is seen at the feet of Jesus. Let's read these once again at this time. Here in Luke chapter 10, and in verse number 38, the Word of God says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now notice here where Mary was. She was at the feet of Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter number 11. In John chapter number 11, once again, we're in Bethany. We find that Mary's brother, by the name of Lazarus, dies. We find that Jesus comes towards Bethany. We find Mary goes out, Martha, goes out to speak with the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 28, the Word of God says, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master come and calleth to thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Where is Mary? At the feet of Jesus. Saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Notice your Bible in John chapter number 12. In John chapter 12 and in verse number 1, the Word of God says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Says Mary, at the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hand, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. For the sake of time, we'll quit reading there this morning. I'd like to have each head bowed and each eye closed, please, and let's worship again. Go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now I'm going to ask Brother Jack Stewart if he'll lead us at this time.
Yes. Lord, you through the grace of what we learned. Lord, warn us to sacrifice. Lord, I pray. May the last one, Lord, found this point like it has never before. God, only the truth. May we receive the gospel. Lord, may it be as
this morning we've read in your presence the three occasions here where Mary, this woman, is seen at the feet of Jesus. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10, Jesus is presented as a prophet. And we're speaking the word. We find Mary there owning him as a prophet, for she sat at his feet and heard his word. In John chapter number 11, he is presented as a priest. There we find Mary approached him as a priest, as one who could be touched with the feeling of her infirmities, as one who could understand her sufferings, her sighs, and her sorrows. But here in John chapter number 12, that's what I want us to look at this morning. John chapter number 12. Here Jesus Christ is set forth as King. And here we find that Mary acknowledged him as King, for she anointed him. I want us to point out some things from this passage of Scripture this morning. Here in John chapter 12 and in verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Be Jesus 6 days before the Passover." What a time here, occurred 6 days before Jesus was to lay his life down on the cross at Calvary. You say, preacher, why 6 days? 6 in the Word of God is a numerical number for man. God created man on the 6th day. If God had created man on Eden prior to that, there's no doubt in my mind, man would have tried to have taken credit for helping God the remaining days. So God waited till the 6th day, 6 in the Word of God. It's an American number for man. I believe God designed it that during this interval of 6 days, man would be sure of fully shown forth just what he was. In these 6 days, we do see what man was. And what man is. And if you want to see what man is, just get close to the cross. The closer and closer you get to the cross, the better you can see what man is. Look while Jesus was hanging on the cross. You can see what man is. You can see that man is a wicked, depraved, sinful creature. Certainly. Look here in verse number 1. Then Jesus 6 days before the Passover. The Passover was given to Israel to keep as a feast. As a memorial. In Exodus chapter number 12. We find that Israel was to keep this feast on a yearly basis. Now did you know that the Passover, Scripture records just 7 times when that feast was kept. Just 7 times. There are just 7 Passovers set before us and recorded in the pages of the Word of God. Now 6 of them are in the Old Testament Scriptures. And there's only 1 in the New. And my friend, that makes 7. And that 7 Passovers was celebrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter number 22. And 7, the Word of God, is an numerical number for perfection. And that 7th Passover brings us to the perfect Lamb of God. Listen. Notice further here in verse number 1. Then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. I like that.
Amen.
Which had been dead. The Word of God says, whom he raised from the dead. In John chapter 11, we have the record of Jesus raising Lazarus from the sleep of death, or from the dead. Now listen, here in verse number 1, we read about resurrection. We read about life. Now notice the Bible in verse number 7. Here in verse 7, the Word of God says, then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. In verse 1, we see life. We see resurrection. The hand of the Lord Jesus, he refers to his own death, to his own burial. Both these things are spoken of right here in this one passage of Scripture. Now, I believe the Father ordered it this way. I believe the Father ordered that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, should be anointed for his burial right here in Bethany, in the very presence of the Lord, whom he raised from the dead.
Yeah.
That attested the power of his own resurrection.
Yeah.
You see, here verse 1 says, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Notice further here in verse number 2. The Word of God says there, they made him a servant and not a servant. His love, preparing a feast for its beloved. As I said earlier, here we find in John 11, Jesus Christ weeping with thousand weep. But here in John 12, we find Jesus rejoicing with those that rejoice. And I believe it was his joy to behold her joy. I believe the same thing is true today. I believe the same thing is true. I believe it's the Lord's joy to behold our joy.
Yeah.
Be there. I believe that. Never had there been a supper that's been attended like this. Now I've got time to deal with that. But you ought to think about that. You ought to think about those who were sitting at the table here, and those who were at this supper. But here in verse 2, the Lord of God says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Martha was one of them that sat at the table with him.
Praise God.
With him. Now remember, when we look at Lazarus here, we're on resurrection ground. And I believe foreshadowed here in Lazarus is that which the saints of God will enjoy after the Lord comes for you.
Yeah, amen.
And one of the things that Lazarus was enjoying was being with Christ.
Being
with Christ. The saints of God forever, throughout the endless ages of eternity, will enjoy fellowship and the presence of the living one.
Hey.
Let me say this. You know the rapture, which is the first phase of the second coming of Jesus, is spoken of many times in the New Testament scriptures. Have you ever noticed every time that it's spoken of, there's not one time where the Word of God tells us that He's coming to take us to heaven. Not one time. But every time, the emphasis is on the person of Jesus Christ. He's coming to take us unto Himself.
Yeah.
And we'll be with Him.
Yeah.
In John 14, right. In verse number 3, Jesus says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. So that thief on the cross, Brother Jack, as you preached last night, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord longs to sorrow for fellowship. He longs to be able to be with him.
That's
what it is ours. Here Lazarus was with him. Was with him. Notice further here. Verse number 3 says, now let's look at Mary. Let's look at Mary carefully here. Here verse 3 says, then said Mary upon the ointment of spikenard, thy housely. I want to direct your attention to those words, very costly. Let's read that again. Then said Mary upon the ointment of spikenard, very costly. What Mary offered here wasn't cheap. It was costly.
Yes, Lord.
Wasn't only costly, it was very costly. According to verse number 5, this ointment was worth 300 pence. If you read the Word of God in Matthew 20 and verse 2, you'll find that this was equal to almost the year's wage of a working man. This could have annually represented Mary's lifetime savings. It could have. Here the Word of God says, she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. You know what Mary was saying here? In Luke chapter number 10, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus for blessing. For blessing. He heard His word. In John chapter number 11, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus with a burden. With a burden. Here in John chapter number 12, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus giving Him her best.
Yes.
Her best. Here we find Mary giving to Jesus Christ her all in all.
Amen. That's good, brother. Amen.
Here she's giving him her best. The feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Here Mary was saying, nothing is too good for my Lord. That's what she was saying. I believe this is the way we want to be. As saints of God today, we want to say nothing is too good for my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just look what he'd done for Mary. He'd raised her brother, who was dead. He'd raised her brother up, given him life. And here he sits at the table with Jesus. And I'm preaching to people this morning. I'm preaching to people this morning. At one time, you had a son, you had a daughter, you had a mother, you had a father, a sister, or a brother that was dead, lost, dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, he came along, and by his marvelous grace, he saved him, he raised him up, and gave him spiritual life.
Amen.
Doesn't he deserve our best, or doesn't he deserve our best?
Yeah.
Mary thought so. Mary thought so. Brother Tim, you know what she was saying here? She was saying, he is worthy. Turn your Bible to Revelation 5 for a moment. Revelation chapter number 5. Let me point something out here. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. The Word of God says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Before the Lamb. Here in verse 6, he's spoken of as the Lamb. In verse 5, he's spoken of as the Lion. First, the Lamb speaks of his first coming. The Lion speaks of his second coming. The Lamb speaks of him as the Redeemer. The Lion speaks of him as the reigning one. But look here in verse 8. It says, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of words, which are the prayers of saints, and they sing a new song, saying, thou art worthy. That's what man was saying.
Yeah.
John chapter 12, Mary was saying, he is worthy of my best.
Yeah.
Look on down here, verse 9, or excuse me, verse 11. Verse 11 says, and I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Do you know how many that is? That's 100 million. That's what that is. That's a pretty good number, isn't it? 100 million. I know the path sometimes seems as though it gets lonely in the Lord's work here. And I'm going to tell you, here's a crowd in heaven rejoicing.
Yeah.
John says, the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Verse number 4 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. That's what Mary was saying. He's worthy of my best.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Now notice here, in John chapter 12, verse number 3, she said, he's worthy of my best. Look here in verse number 3. Here in verse 3, the Word of God says, then took Mary a pound of ointment. A spider! A pound! It ever occurred to you she could have just taken a few drops? Has it ever occurred to you that she could have taken just a small portion of that pound? Has it ever occurred to you that she could have just sprinkled the feet of Jesus? But she didn't. She didn't do that! She said, he is worthy of it all! And she used the pound.
Yeah.
She used the pound. Notice something else here in verse 30. The Word of God says, and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, she could have gotten a cloth and went over there and wiped his feet. But she didn't. She wiped his feet with her hair. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:15, he said, but if a woman have her own hair, it is a glory to her.
Right.
And here, as we read verse number 3, we find that Mary realized what was due Jesus Christ. She realized that he deserves the glory.
Yes, amen.
She wiped his feet with her hair or her glory.
Yes.
Not only that, verse number 3 says, and the house, not the room, but the house. Not the corner, but the house. The house was filled with but the honor of God. Now look at verse number 3 again. Look at verse number 3 again. Here in this verse of Scripture, I want you to take careful notice of how carefully the Holy Spirit has recorded this deed of Mary. Notice how he included the little details. The little details. He told us of what she used. It was ointment of spikenard. Not only that, but he told us what it weighed. It weighed a pound. Not only that, he told us its worth. In verse 5, it was worth 300 pence. And then in verse number 3, we see Mary's willingness. We find the Lord took notice of this deed of Mary. And not only that, he recorded every little detail.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. When we serve the Lord, and when we do anything for Jesus Christ because we love him, when we do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord, he takes note of that deed, and he takes note of every little detail.
Yes.
One day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and be rewarded accordingly.
Right. Yeah.
You say, preacher, but the deed was just small. That's all right. Matthew 10 says he doesn't overlook a cup of cold water.
Amen.
That'll never be. Now I'm going to tell you something else, friend. Mary here, she gave Jesus her best. She didn't do this just on the spur of the moment. She didn't do this just on the spur of the moment. She just didn't do this spasmodically. She didn't do this because of sudden impulse. She had this plan. Look at the Bible, verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Has she kept this? Has she kept this? Jesus said, against the day of my burying, has she kept this? This is something she planned for. She planned to give Jesus her best. She purposed it in her heart to give Jesus her best. Just like Daniel. Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart. And Mary here purpose to give Jesus her best. And that's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. We ought to purpose in our hearts that he's worthy and give him our best. Notice verse number 4. Verse number 4. Then says one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that should betray him. Why was not this orphan sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now listen, right here is the first words, the first recorded words Judas Iscariot in the Word of God. And what do his first words involve? They involve money. They involve money. The last words of Judas, as recorded in the Word of God, is found in Matthew 26:4. Judas said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And that involved 30 pieces of silver. The first words and the last words of Judas have recorded in the Word of God concerning money. And these sayings, these words, they reveal his wicked heart. Judas, my friend, wasn't in love with the poor. But he was in love with money. With money. Paul said the love of money is the root. And the root is that which is not seen. The root of all evil. Here in this passage of Scripture, Judas said, why was not this on the soul? For 300 pence and given to the poor. Judas said, my didn't waste it. That's what he was saying. You wasted it. And I said, when you give your best to Jesus, when you lay your all on the altar, there'll always be somebody standing by to tell you a connect. There'll always be somebody standing by and to call you crazy. You went overboard.
Yeah, right. Amen.
There'll always be somebody standing by to question your motives and criticize you. Don't worry about that.
Amen.
Don't worry about that.
Amen.
The Lord takes care of those. We'll notice it in a minute here. Here in this passage, the Word of God says, why was not this woman sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6 says this, he said, not that he cared for the poor. You know the Lord knows his motive, why he said that. He knows Mary's motive, why she done what she done. And here he said, here the Word of God says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. You know who does the most for poor folk? Those that love Jesus.
Yeah.
Those that give their best to Jesus does the most for poor folk. That's right. Notice further here in this passage. He said this, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had them hide and bad what was put therein. Then he said, Jesus! Then he said, Jesus! Let her alone! He said to Judas, he said, let her alone! Judas shut his mouth. He shut his mouth. He has to when the great shepherd says, let her alone. Here's the great shepherd. He's the one of his sheep. My friend, let me show you. Judas here was seeking to hinder the service of someone that loves him. My friend, let's not be guilty. Let's don't get in such a dangerous position as to seek to hinder somebody's serving Jesus. You're on dangerous ground when you seek to hinder somebody from serving the Lord and giving him their best.
Yeah,
let's don't do that. Let's don't do that. Here in verse number 7, the Word of God says, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? Against the day of my burying. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, Mary, understand. That is about to happen. That's what he was saying. He was saying, look, Mary understands of that. Mary understands about that. You know that Mary had a deeper understanding of what was going to happen to Jesus than a lot of the others that were there that day. She had a deeper understanding. You know why? You know why she had a deeper understanding? Luke 10 says she had faith in Jesus. If we'll set it in the feet of Jesus, here's his word. We'll understand some things that others around us. That's right. It says here, then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying, how she cares that. So you verse 8, for the power always ye have with you. This is election year. Some politicians need to read verse 8 and believe. You know, they've always been famous. They've always been famous of promising cars in every garage, and chicken in every pot, and wiping out poverty, and there'd be no more poor. That's not what he says, for the poor always you have with you. That's not what I want you to notice. Notice the last verse. But me have not always. Look at it. But me ye have not always. In closing, this is what I want to stress. Mary here had a significant opportunity to do something for her Lord while he was here. What I want to point out is this. If Mary was going to take advantage of this opportunity, she must do so quickly. Because the opportunity was brief and it would soon be passed. Soon Jesus would go to Calvary, lay his life down, and be buried, and rise again. And if he was going to anoint him for his burial while he was living, he had only a short time to do so. What she had, if she was going to do this, and take it back,
out of there. Keep her doing quickly.
Couldn't put it off. Put it off. If Mary would have let this opportunity pass, it would have slid by. He would have never been able to be called. He had been called all throughout. There's something that she never had another opportunity to do. You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying this. The Lord has given us the privilege today. Fellowship with His son. His marriage. The Lord has given us the privilege, the opportunity to do things in His church right here and now. His church. Every day of our lives, He gives us opportunity to give Him our best. Every day. My friend, the opportunity has come to you. There's only one line which can be passed. That which